Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's gather around our Bibles. You've got your Bible? Open it up, please, to Genesis chapter 22. You know where we were the whole time we were in the during resonance? What were the Bible studies about outside? The names of Jesus. This is what we did, what we were doing last, all through the summer. The title we gave it, although you might not have heard this every single week, was What's in a Name? And we looked at the names of Jesus, a good number of his names. But tonight we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at some more names. Tonight we start a series that's going to take us into the autumn and maybe even into the winter. It depends on how many other names I find that I just really want to share with you on these Wednesday nights. So tonight we start this series that will go on for a while, and I'm calling it What's in a Name? Hey, sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's kind of part two of What's in a Name. And I know it sounds familiar, but I know we finished that in resonance, and we took all summer to look at a few of those names. And here's the names that we looked at. I think I have them up here, just in case you weren't with us. We looked at Emmanuel, Jesus and Emmanuel, God who saves and God who's here. Anybody comforted with the fact that God is with us? That's not a fairy tale. That's not something you tell yourself just so you can sleep well at night. It's a fact. It's a reality. Second week, we talked about Jesus, the chief cornerstone, and that was brought to you with an Aussie accent. How many of you remember my friend Chris from West Australia? I'm going to be with him in a couple of weeks. But our solid foundation in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Then we went on to talk about the vine, which is the source of our life, and Jesus is the vine, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. He gives us direction, he gives us wisdom, and he gives us our very life, our existence. We talked about Jesus being the door, the only point of access to God Almighty. He's the only one. The only way of access to God is through Jesus Christ. If you want to have a personal relationship with him, it's only through Jesus. Next, we looked at the Good Shepherd, our trusted leader and protector. And the shepherd does so many other wonderful things as well. And then we looked at the resurrection and life. Jesus, you know this, he's the only one who cancels death. He's the only one that looses the grip of death over you and I, and it's all in him and only in him. The light of the world, Jesus, is the only one who cancels darkness. The bread of life, the only one who feeds our empty souls. And then the last one I talked about, I got to share a couple of those messages, was Jesus, the desire of all the nations. He is the one that all people and every nation are looking for. If they have good desires for their nations, if you have a good desire for yourself, anybody want peace? Anybody want to walk in love and hope? It's Jesus, the desire. He's the one you desire. He's the one that you're after. And I love going through that, but there are dozens of more names for Jesus. But what about all those other, I wouldn't say bigger names, but before all the names of Jesus showed up in the New Testament, there was a good handful of names that were the names of God, insight into who God is. Other names. What about all of those Yahweh names? So there's a few more names that we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at Jehovah Jireh. We'll do that tonight. The Lord who provides for us. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Pronounce this one with me. Jehovah, it's not a Nissan. It's not a Toyota, but it's Nisi, the Lord who is our banner. Anybody know what that means? The Lord who is our peace, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Ra, the Lord who is our shepherd. I can't wait to get to that one. Try to pronounce that one. You kind of do pronounce the T. Desidkenu. I've heard it a couple of different ways, but that sounds logical. The Lord who is our righteousness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is truly presence. It's kind of another Emmanuel. And then there's this one, Jehovah Sabaoth. That's not Sabbath, that's the Lord of hosts, or the God of angel armies that's over us. And one more here. Go ahead, give it a shot. Try to pronounce that one. I dare you to turn to somebody and say it to them, but don't spit on them as you're saying it, okay? It's a mouthful. Here's my guess at it. Mikodidishkem, the Lord who sanctifies us. And so we're going to take a look at those beginning tonight. We're going to start at the top of the list. The top of the list is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for us. So turn to Genesis chapter 22, and let me move through this with you tonight. And Father, I pray as we open up your word and as we open up our hearts, and Lord, this is always so important that every time we open this book, that we open our hearts to you as well and prepare to receive from you, Lord, what you want us to hear, what you want us to know, what you want us to live in, what adjustments you want us to make in our life, where we need to repent, where we need to renew our commitment to you. So, Father, just we open our hearts to your word and ask that you would teach us, that, Lord, you would restore us, and you would do a work in our hearts tonight that will change our lives. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, you know this chapter of Scripture so well. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you have bounced in and out of Genesis chapter 22, either studying the whole thing or a reference of this whole beautiful, and really it's an awesome, and I mean that in not just the cool way, awesome dude, but I mean if there's something awesome about this, something powerful about this scene here. It's in the life of Abraham. And Abraham is being called to do something that to anyone who loves their family is unthinkable. But trusting God, here's what he does. And he moves on in obedience to God. Now it says here in verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 1, as God has been walking with Abraham, and Abraham has been walking with God for a while now, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Everybody underline tested there. Say it out loud with me. He tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Ooh. Of course he loved him. He was a son of promise. You know the story. Abraham got out of the will of God. And he decided, I can get a son. If my wife won't give me a son, I can get a son from some other woman who happens to be a part of our tribe here. And he got way outside of the will of God. And that terrible error in judgment is still the core reason for the turmoil in the Middle East today. Still is. So God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. He had another son. Ishmael was his son as well. But he's not acknowledged in this covenant with God at this point. He said, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Some of you know, come on, you've been here for a while. Where is Moriah? Where is Moriah? Anybody even know it? Shout it out. Jerusalem. Jerusalem's in the heart of Moriah. It was probably more of a region than anything else, and there would have been a Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah today is where the Temple Mount is, which is dominated by three mosques on the top of that Temple Mount that was that God had called his people to pitch, not pitch the tent, but to build the temple there. And so go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, you can disagree with this if you want to, but my opinion on this, I think it's very important to notice that God does not say to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, and go to Moriah and slaughter him. He says, offer him to me as a burnt offering, or as you would a burnt offering, something you let go of and you put it on the altar and you give it to God, and it's God's now and it's not yours any longer. So he takes him. Verse 3, so Abraham arose early in the morning. And by the way, there's all different kinds of opinions on how old was Isaac when Abraham took him to Moriah. Most of the pictures that you see, most of the attempts at artwork, he looks like he's maybe 8 to 12 years old. He was probably older than that. Some say 20, some say 30. Let's just all say it out loud. We don't what? We don't know for sure. But whatever age he was, can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine looking at your 8 or your 12-year-old saying, okay, God, I'll do that. And maybe a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old. No, I'm just kidding. But there are difficult ages in raising kids for sure. But I can't imagine a father that would say, oh, yes, right away, God. And I don't think he did it with an attitude like that. But he did obey God because he'd learned to trust God. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day of travel, remember that, circle that, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and, what's that word? Worship. We will worship. That's the first place in the Bible you find the word worship. Now, we may leave our time of gathering here tonight, and somebody might walk out and say, man, I love the worship tonight. But what we call worship, the Bible calls it praise, pretty much exclusively. The song of the church is typically called praise. I can't find one verse of scripture that identifies the songs before the service as worship. It can become an act of worship when there's surrender in it. But the first place that worship is found is right there. I will go yonder and worship. And I'm sorry for throwing a little humor in here, because there's really nothing humorous about this, but I think it's important to drive home this point, that as they make their way up the mountain, and they've got the wood that's been split, and Isaac is a sacrifice, that you don't see Abraham saying, oh, hey, buddy, would you go back to the donkey and get my guitar, because we got to worship up here. And don't forget the song sheets. That was not what was in their mind. It was a sacrifice that would be offered to God. And so they go up into the mountain. He says, my son and I, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and circle this word, we will return. We will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, Abba, my father. And he said, I'm right here, son. Here I am, son. And then he said, look, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb, daddy? For the burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, read this with me if you have it there. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. I like the translation that says, God will provide himself as a sacrifice. God will provide himself a sacrifice. God, the Son, Jesus. And so they came to the place which God had told him. What if Abraham, before he moved on, had said to Isaac, well, buddy, I didn't want to tell you this, but let me tell you now, you're the sacrifice. He didn't say that to him. However old he was, they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The word slay did not come up in the commandments from God, but he steps into the sacrifice as if it will be Isaac that will die that day. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son,
your only son from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." Because that's what he said, the Lord Jehovah will provide. Jehovah Jireh, he will provide. And he did. How long did it take for God to provide the son for the sacrifice? See, God called Abraham to do sort of a, it's like he walked through the motions of the sacrifice of his son. And in his heart, he's thinking, I don't know how this works, but I know this is the son of promise. I don't know how God will rescue my son from death or if he'll raise him from the dead. But he walked obediently through. Now, don't step out and practice this on Saturday morning when the kids wake you up, okay? It happened once as an image, and it happened once for all on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. And that slab of rock that goes way past the Temple Mount on the same sort of foundation that stretches for close to a mile on top of that, on top of Mount Moriah, God offered his son, and he didn't turn back. I'm of the opinion, I can't prove it, but it's one of those I won't be surprised to find out categories for me, that when the sky went black at the death of Jesus, I can only imagine how the Father felt, how Abba, our Abba felt at the sacrifice of his own son for sinners like me, for vile sinners like me. He went through with it for his son. And yes, he knew he would raise him from the dead. But knowing what it would cost him, knowing what it would mean, and Jesus knowing what it would mean, as he said, "Oh, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." And there wasn't any other way. Oh, there was a way to escape it, but then you wouldn't be saved and I wouldn't be saved. He went through with it. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Help us never look at it lightly, oh God. Help us to see it in the depth and the power and the gravity that there is in it. Thank you, Lord, for going through with it in order to save us. Whew. Let me get back to the text here. Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw the ram. Where was I? He said, he called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh, if you could read it in the Hebrew. Or maybe it's more likely Yahweh Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed..." What a promise. "In your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Do you know the whole wide world? We don't have time tonight to give you the list of ways that the whole world has been blessed because Abraham obeyed God. The whole wide world is blessed because of that obedience, which mirrored what God would do with his son. What's the greatest way? Through Israel came who? Our Messiah, Jesus. And he said, go where and tell who? Go everywhere and tell everyone that their sins can be forgiven. Is there a greater blessing? Is there any greater blessing? Prosperity is nothing compared to salvation. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And there's many, many, many other ways that the nation of Israel has blessed the nations of the world. But I know someone who hates Israel because he hates God. And that's Lucifer. That's the devil that is determined again to try to annihilate God's people. Because for prophecy to be fulfilled, that we read both Old Testament and the New Testament, especially in Revelation, Israel has to be a nation in the land. And so he's doing everything he can to get as many people screaming about death to Israel, annihilate the Jews. And it's not going to happen because God will see to that. And even those that are screaming the loudest, Jesus shed his blood for that nation too. And all the protesters who have no idea which river and which sea they're screaming about when they say from the river to the sea, they don't even know which one it is, a lot of them. He loved them enough to send his son. And now I'm preaching. Let's get back to verse 20 here. Verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba, just settled down there for a while. And now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, indeed. And there's more to the story there. So that's where we are tonight with the first of the Jehovah names of God, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. The one, the God who will provide. And we've already been through those. Let me move my notes up here. And we're really just about ready for communion tonight. But I want to talk about the Lord who provides. What has he provided for us? What has he done? Well, it's a longer list than I have time to tell you tonight. But I've got some things I want to show you up on the screen. You can take pictures of them as I put them up there one by one. If you want these, you're going to get the verses along with it after I give you the name of it. So what Jehovah Jireh provides for all of us, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. You ready to read some Bible with me? I need more than four people. Anybody else ready? Okay. Find a screen that you can look at. Read with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read together out loud. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Turn to somebody and say, you did not save yourself. Jesus did it. So salvation by grace through faith, Jehovah Jireh provided that. The next one. He provides forgiveness for sinners. Let's read it together from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody shout hallelujah on that. It's that simple. Yes, and if you're in here tonight and you haven't come to that place of surrendering your life to Jesus and you're still trying to be good enough for heaven, this is how you get there. All of us have sinned. If we say we have no sin, we're just big liars. But if we confess our sins, he forgives us and he cleanses us. You got to get the next one here. Peace with God. How many of you are thankful for peace? Shalom in our hearts. We're going to get to the God of shalom. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, let's read this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God, but we also have the peace, what? Of God in us, because we have peace with God. He provides that. So he also provides the peace of God. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said this. Let's read it out loud, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Does anybody need peace tonight? Anybody seriously, you, in a time in your life where you need peace? He just said right there, he gave it to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not the kind of peace the world gives. So find some time tonight and just tell the Lord your own words. You don't need to parrot what I say, but tell God, God, I'm going to settle into your peace. You've got this. Whatever this is, tell him, Lord, I know you've got this, and walk in his peace. Next one is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Two verses or two passages on this. Let's read them both. John chapter 7. Verse 37 through 39. You still got voice? Everybody still got some voice? Let's read together. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's enough for somebody else, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jehovah Jireh provides that peace. Jehovah Jireh provides that presence and that power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm harping on this a lot lately, but there's somebody that you know who needs to hear about Jesus from you. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to get them to the church so Pastor Jeff can tell them, or Pastor Bill can tell them. I'll take them to a really good Christian and they can tell them. No. You're the one that gets to tell them. You're the real Christian, whether you think you're a really good Christian or not, you're the real Christian that God has positioned near people that he wants to know. He wants them to know about the one that you love more than anyone else. So you got the power, you got the presence of the Holy Spirit. Step into it, as we say these days, lean into those conversations. And don't give up until you say Jesus. And let them know, God sent me here. Jesus sent me to tell you that he loves you. Can I pray for you? Be bold about it. Next one is conviction of sin. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Let's go to another one. But conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what I mean when I say conviction of sin? And you know, there's some that little voice in your head just says, no, not you, not for you. Let's read it together. John chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And by the way, you may be in the world, not of the world, but he'll still convict you and he'll still convict me of things that don't belong in the life of a lover of Jesus. Amen? Okay, next one is rest for the weary. Anybody weary? Anybody get burdened? Let's read this together. Rest for the weary from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's your promise. It's provided by Jehovah Jireh. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Learn from me. That means get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and learn how to walk that out. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And by the way, the yoke was not for carrying a burden. The yoke was for guidance. And let God lead you. When you get that little conviction of sin disturbance in your heart, obey it. If you find yourself about to make a decision or do something and you get maybe I shouldn't. You shouldn't. Just obey that and you'll be walking in light and you'll be walking in the truth that way. The next one, victory over temptation. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Let's read. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. In the middle of the heat of the battle of temptation, there is the power to stand against it. You just need to turn and hug it. You need to turn to it and receive that power. And stand in faith. With the temptation, he will also make a way of escape so that you can bear it. Then not only do you have a story to tell somebody, you've got a testimony now of walking in the truth, walking in godliness. And this might be the last one. Grace to help us in any situation. I think this is the last one I'm going to make you read out loud. You ready? Crank it up a half another notch and let's read together. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who's given all this stuff to us? Who is it? Jehovah Jireh. Who, it just seems like he can't stop giving. He's continually giving to us. There was another verse in there, which was, I do have one more. His constant faithful presence, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 6, and Matthew chapter 28. You know these. Let's read together. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Turn to somebody, look them in the eye, say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And now read the last verse with me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. In Jesus' words, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know where we are not right now? We are not at the end of the age. That means he's with you right now. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So there you have it. The list of all of these wonderful things that Jehovah Jireh provides for us, the God who loves to give us good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights and says, in whom there's no change, no variableness, or even a shadow of him turning. He's constant. He is the one constant that there always is. So yeah, look at it. Jehovah Jireh is a really big name. And it's a name that applies to Jesus. Because as it said there in Genesis chapter 22, God will provide himself. God will provide himself. That sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh will give you all that you need as you walk with him. Jehovah Jireh is the biggest name I think that there is. And in that name, you'll find everything that you need and everything that you've been looking for all of your life. So, I want to throw out the fishing line or the net every time I speak in one way or another and just ask, is there anybody in here? Maybe some people that are watching online. I keep hearing from people all the time, we can't be there in person, but we love watching online. So whoever you are, whether you're here in person or watching it in pixels, wherever you are, what are you waiting for? If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus and allowed him to be your Lord, the leader of your life, it's time for you to resign from being the leader of your life. It's time for you to quit trying to be the Lord of your life and let the Lord be the Lord of your life. Let Jehovah Jireh be who he said he wanted to be, the God who provides. Let him do what he came to do. Jesus' painful mission when he came to this earth in the days of his flesh, it was profound what he did in that visit. He was the lamb that was slain. He was like the lamb or the ram that was caught in the thicket. A male lamb is a ram. And he went to that altar of sacrifice called the cross willingly, painful, but such profound impact. Jesus came here to provide us with forgiveness and with hope and new life and freedom and deliverance. And I'm speaking to somebody tonight that hopefully inside you're saying, I needed to hear this tonight, that there's freedom and there is deliverance. I don't need to continue to live in bondage. And he gave us, and I think one of the greatest gifts of Jehovah Jireh is what I'm looking at right now. This family, the family of God, as Pastor Allen always called us, God's forever family. Forever family. You know what I was thinking today when I was preparing for tonight is that probably 100 family circles just like this tonight are gathered here in Orange County. And probably at least 100 different churches or house churches or whatever. But there's well over 100 circles of believers that have gathered together tonight, maybe to have communion, maybe to pray for one another, maybe to open up their Bibles and study and sing a few songs to Jesus together and truly worship with the surrender of their life. They're doing exactly what we've done tonight, wherever they are. And I know of a few of them by name. And they're studying and they're singing and they're praying. And they're also in the presence of Jehovah Jireh, receiving the provision of the Holy Spirit and healing and power and hope. Everybody say hope. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder what area of your life you've lost hope in. I wonder what it is. I wonder if it's just personal, physical, or health, or relationship, or a call on your life to ministry, or the thought that you could ever do something significant for God, or disappointment that's brought hopelessness. He wants to breathe hope into you tonight. And all over Huntington Beach, all over Orange County, people just like us are gathering, and Jesus is gathering with them. After he's done with us, he'll go to them. No, he's with them at the same time. And tonight, some of them are probably gathering around the table to celebrate this new covenant that we're going to celebrate tonight. Jesse's going to come back out and lead us in worship and as we prepare to partake of communion together. But Jesus gave us, and this is another one of the Jehovah Jireh things. And Jesus did this in such a purposeful way. In other words, on purpose. He didn't just eat the Passover meal with his disciples, but at the end of the Passover meal, he instituted another meal. We call it communion. Some churches call it the Eucharist. And some people see it a little differently than we do. But of all that it may or may not be, I do know for sure what it is when we partake of this bread. It is a sacred, powerful reminder. Jesus said, do this when you gather together. And some people really enunciate or really emphasize the statement that Jesus made, as often as you gather together, do this. So do this every time you gather together. And some people take it that way. Some people believe that Jesus was saying, whenever you sit down to celebrate the Passover. Well, how often would that be? Once a year. I don't think it was that. And I'm not sure that it's absolutely every time we sit down together, but that wouldn't be a bad thing. And even to practice that at home. But he said, do this in remembrance of me. It's a sacred, powerful reminder. And I think it's one of the truly beautiful things that Jesus provided us in this simple meal. This is the Feast of the Forgiven that we're about to have tonight. A simple meal of grace and power. With the bread. Jesus is what? The bread of life to us. And Jesus is what? The vine. What comes off the vine? The grapes come off the vine. And they're squeezed into the juice that would become wine. He said, I'm everything that you need. This simple meal has such powerful impact if we approach it correctly. The sacred reminder of what it cost Jesus Christ to save us.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.